Leaders from 100 nations are meeting in Johannesburg, South Africa this week for a conference on sustainable development. It's been a decade since the movement first gained international attention during the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. At that conference, governments and lenders pledged to make development more environmentally and socially responsible. The World Bank pledged to cooperate. But as NPR's Allison Aubrey reports, sustainable development is proving to be a messy experiment.
To say the World Bank lends money is sort of like saying Michael Jordan plays basketball. The bank finances billions of dollars of projects in poor countries that private lenders consider too risky. Its involvement can make or break a country's ability to attract investment. A good example is the bank's oil pipeline project in the African nations of Chad and Cameroon. Under construction now, the hundreds of miles of pipeline will cut through villages, rainforests, and rivers. It will make a lot of money for the impoverished nations, but Karina Horta of the group Environmental Defense says it's also bringing problems. Pipeline construction is destroying biologically diverse rainforest.
Pipeline construction by itself would not be so damaging, but what happens is when you open up a forest area like that, then all kinds of other things start to happen too. The loggers move in. With the loggers come the wildlife poachers,
who try to make a living hunting diminishing stocks of wildlife. Horta says thousands of Africans have been attracted to the region by the image of an oil El Dorado and the false promise of jobs. But the jobs have mostly gone to foreigners, skilled engineers and contractors who've been set up in deluxe housing. Horta describes the region now as a sort of tale of two cities. There are traditional African villages with straw houses overcrowded by an influx of impoverished people.
And on the other hand, you know, you have the enclave of the expatriates, which is, you know, look very, very suburban, you know, with all, you know, the amenities of modern life and big satellites and, you know, the food being flown in fresh every day and this kind of thing.
All of this has led to resentment among residents. So a group of Chadians back in 2000 demanded they, not foreigners, benefit from the project. Ian Johnson, head of the bank's Sustainable Development Program, explains their complaints were heard loud and clear. The bank decided not to delay the project, but it did take action to help citizens. For instance, it negotiated with the president of Chad to create an oil revenue sharing fund that requires generous portions of the oil royalties to be spent on education and health. Significant for a country where life expectancy is 45 years and two-thirds of the population is illiterate. And on environmental protection, the bank agreed to protect a larger forest area than was lost by the building of the pipeline.
We have put in place as many safeguards as we can to ensure that it is done in a sensitive manner with respect to both environment and social issues. We've involved local communities. Of course, a project like that is very complex, and of course, it can go wrong, as we've seen in the past. But we feel that we have done as much as is humanly possible to try to make this project a success.
And Johnson argues the pipeline is not a special case.
For all of our projects now, they must be pre-screened or screened to ensure that we do environmental and social policy due diligence. That means we must look at the social consequences and the environmental impacts of every one of the projects we finance.
But critics say despite this lip service to a new creed, the bank still has a culture of supporting projects that harm the environment and run afoul of the bank's stated mission of eliminating poverty. Carol Welch of the environmental group Friends of the Earth argues the Chad-Cameroon pipeline is a perfect example. She says the bank likes to claim it's become the largest financier of alternative energy.
What has actually happened is that since Rio, in the last decade, from 1992 to this year, the bank has supported over $22 billion in financing of dirty fossil fuels, as opposed to just $1 billion for renewable or energy efficiency projects. And so we see that as a serious shortfall of the bank.
Welch and other critics argue as the world's most influential lender, the World Bank should support technologies of the future. But the bank's Ian Johnson says, for now, the world economy moves on oil. If Chad has any hope for development in the short term, the pipeline, which exports the country's most valuable commodity, is it.
One of the things that I was struck by in Chad is it truly is an impoverished country. And to deny that country the opportunity of bettering itself, I think, is immoral.
The conference at Rio back in 1992 focused on the environment. An emerging theme of this summit in Johannesburg is people first. But whoever benefits, critics say the bank needs to suspend projects when lending doesn't go right. Like now, bank officials recently learned that the president of Chad used the first pipeline bonus to buy $5 million of guns. Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Washington.